This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Mike Pesca in Washington. Neil Conan is away. College football's national champion will be crowned tonight. But because of the lack of a playoff system, no matter who wins, Ohio State or LSU, there will be a few teams who will be able to complain about not getting a fair chance. The two teams that get to play for the championship are selected based on a fairly subjective process involving polls, computer calculations, and lots of luck. If the Notre Dame fight song were rewritten today, it might go, "Pray, pray for a BCS bid, based on perception, not what you did. Write your congressman or sue if the computer doesn't choose you." Or maybe it probably wouldn't, actually, to tell you the truth. But we are talking about college football today, and later in the hour, how to rig an election, the confessions of one former political operative, but first crowning a college football champion. What system works best? BCS, playoffs, or maybe something else completely? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We'll get both sides on this. First up, Dave Zirin, a columnist for Slam Magazine and author of the book Welcome to the Terror Dome, The Pain, Politics, and Promise of Sports. He wrote an op-ed for Sports Illustrated called On Pigskin and Petrol, the Oily BCS. Welcome to Studio 3A, Dave.
Great to be here, Michael.
So we'll get to the arguments, but first we have to explain what the BCS is and how it works. And Dave, I know that you know, and I kind of know. So what we have to do is get someone in here who maybe doesn't know to see if we go over that person's head. And we found such a person. Ashley Grashaw is going to keep us honest. Ashley, how'd we find you?
Well, I work for Talk of the Nation. Okay. I'm on the staff.
That's one way. And, and is it true you really don't know that much about college football?
Football. That's the one where they wear tight, shiny pants and there's some pigskin involved?
No, honestly.
Look, I went to Cal, go Bears. I've been to a couple games. I know what a healthy rivalry is, but by no means am I an expert. I don't even know what that little yellow tissue is that they throw on the field, much less how the playoffs work.
You know? Well, let me ask you this. Who did Doug Flutie play for?
Who's that? Is he on Cal?
No. I think that establishes her lack of
bonafides, if you will.
Good. I'm a little embarrassed. Gotta say that.
All right, so let's get into this process. Today is the BCS championship game. What does BCS stand for, Dave?
Well, it stands for, boy, college football stinks. No, it does not. It stands for the Bowl Championship Series. Oh, should we explain that there's a whistle involved in this
segment?
Well,
how it's going to work is Ashley gets confused, she's going to throw one of those yellow tissues and blow a whistle, okay? So we're just going to have our conversation, and then if we hear the whistle, we'll stop and, you know, pull back and get a little less jargony. So what is BCS really? How did it come about?
Well, the BCS, or Bowl Championship Series, started in 1998, and it was designed as a way to force a recognized national champion on NCAA college football. Before 1998, what you had at the end of the year were a series of bowl games. What's a game?
What's a bowl game?
What's a bowl?
Why is it called a bowl? Someone asked me that.
Why is it called a bowl? It's called a bowl, actually, because the shape of a football stadium is like that of a bowl. And so that's why you have the Super Bowl is the final NFL game, because that's the most super of them all. It's so super. Now, you go to some of the other bowls, you have other, you know, the pageantry of college football means that now you have 33 bowl games at the end of every season. That means 66 schools, over 50% of all schools that play football, play in a bowl game. And I don't know about you, Michael, but I just love the pageantry of the PapaJohns.com Bowl, which happens every year.
The San Diego Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl is my favorite.
I love it. I mean, the historic rivalry between... All right.
So they have all these games, with some with crazy names, often pairing teams that have 500 records. But tonight is the championship game. How do they decide which teams get to play in that?
Well, I can't tell you how they actually decide it, because I don't have an advanced degree in computer nanotechnology from Stanford. It is a bizarre... Stanford?
Yeah,
or it's nanotechnology?
It's our big enemy at Cal.
We hate nanotechnology at NPR. No. What it is this bizarre computer program that's weighed against the college football coaches who vote in a poll, and through the computer readout, as well as the college football coaches voting, What, coaches?
So is it a popularity contest? I mean, what the that's coaches vote?
Well, it's subjective. It's polling. I mean, that's the thing. It's like one of the things I think we love about sports, one of the things that despite all the scandal and detritus that clings to sports like barnacles on a boat, one of the things we love about sports is that the champion is determined on the field of play. And that you know who the winner is on the what play?
Field of play.
Field of play.
Sorry.
A court.
I'm really
field.
Bad.
It's okay. I mean, we could do some English classes after this too, if you like. But
you wanted someone
maybe
not
a sports,
that informed.
Sports
but.
To English dictionary might be good. But no, but that's what we love about sports. The winner is the winner, except in college football. There, and you could argue also in sports like that. I don't even consider sports things like ice skating or skeet shooting. You know, actually, skeet shooting is okay, but anything where you have to have a judge. You know, anytime you have to explain the history of the East German judge in any sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's subjective. It's somebody who might have some shadowy under conspiracy about how something should turn out. That's not sports. It has to be something that's decided on the field of play. And in college football, it's really not decided on the field of play. It's decided by computers. It's decided by coaches, many of whom they're handed these polls. And I know this from talking to college coaches. They're exhausted after a long day. They have a keg to drink. And what they do is they hand the poll to their equipment manager or to their child. And they say, or to a chicken in Chinatown, and they say, please peck out who in fact should be the top 20 teams in the country.
So the championship today means millions of dollars for the winning school.
Yes.
A few million less for the losing school. And you're saying a big part of who gets to play for those millions and that glory is whoever was next to the particular coach while he was drinking a beer.
That just plays into it, but the computer side plays into it too. But the biggest determiner of who gets to play for it is who is in the major conferences. And that's the other thing that's very unfair. Major conferences. Good. That was a good whistleblower. The major conferences are there are six major conferences. And I'm not going to list them. I mean, the Big Ten, Pac-10, Big 12.
The big team, the big household name
teams. The big
teams,
household name teams.
Where everyone
play.
In the state loves the school, have the huge budgets. Yeah.
Yeah, Big East. These are the big teams. So you have the six major conferences, and you have the team you mentioned at the top of the other, Notre Dame, which exists in a universe all its own.
Right.
All of these teams, and with there's a slight variable for at-large mid-major teams, although it rarely happens. The BCS started in 1998. You didn't have a mid-major team play in a BCS bowl game. A mid-major team, smaller school. Cool.
Anticipating
school.
Me.
Yeah. it's one of a smaller school at a smaller market. Utah is an example of a mid-major team. Boise State is an example of a mid-major team. And Hawaii is an example. These are three mid-major teams that played in BCS games, and that's really where the list begins and ends.
Okay, hold on, Ashley, because let's just give a bottom line to this whole thing. It seems the process is subjective, not necessarily fair. The rich get richer because only teams from the big conference are really allowed to play in that championship game. And I guess is... What kind of maybe it's this crazy thing that everyone kind of likes anyway. Like in Iowa, they all like the caucuses.
Right. But it's not, though. Some of the biggest names in college football have said that the BCS is an absolute sham, that there should be a playoff system, and it's only because of greedy and small-minded college presidents who cling to the bowl system because over 50% of all colleges get to play in a bowl.
Right.
You know, and they like those easy paydays where the big-moneyed alumni, you know, pay their ticket and they fly out to Arizona to go to the Wikipedia /.org, you know, bowl.
Yeah.
And they get to go there and you get to make some easy money for your college. And that's why in my column on Sports Illustrated, I compared the bowl championship series, the college football bowl system, to the oil industry. Because people recognize that the oil industry is something that, you know, is something that's dirty, that it's unclean, and there's actually even more profits to be made by going to different kinds of energy. And yet we're still immersed and stained in oil as an energy source in this country, just like with college football, because there are interests in place, powerful interests, that say, no, oil is the way to go. It's the same thing with college football. So you have big names in college football, people like Joe Paterno, who's the coach of Penn State. You heard of Joe Paterno? I'm just curious.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay, that's okay.
A legendary coach who's up there on the all-times win
list. Yes, don't go to Pennsylvania. You will be physically harmed.
But Joe Paz, they say, is annoyed with this system.
Hates the system.
Steve Spurrier, great
hates
coach.
Hates the system. Tremendous
coach. A
lot
of these big coaches.
Tommy Tuberville from
because
Auburn.
Because these are guys who know that to play the game, what you have to do is keep score.
Right.
And there's a lot about the college bowl system that really isn't about keeping score. Only two teams get to play for the big game.
That's right.
Ashley, do you more or less get it?
I do, and I think I'm going to do much better in bars with guys now.
Okay.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Now go answer the calls.
Awesome.
Thank you.
It's just one last thing about tonight's championship game you mentioned. It's between LSU and Ohio State. One of my favorite sports radio people described this game as LSU and Ohio State, two teams that backed into the championship game. And because they were not very good teams, but all the top teams lost at the end of the year. So they were kind of like the two people kind of left standing.
Sometimes this screwy system does pair two undefeated teams.
Yes.
Teams that people want to watch.
And when that happens, the uproar dies down. Like a couple of years ago, USC played Texas. The two undefeated teams, Vince Young, who played for Texas, going against Reggie Bush, who won the Heisman Trophy that year. And it was a real Clash of the Titans kind of feel. And therefore, the hoi polloi was satisfied. But this year, when you have two teams back into a championship game, no one has really earned the right to be there on Ohio State or LSU. It leaves a bad feeling in everybody's mouth.
This year, LSU has two losses, and Ohio State has one loss.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of other teams in that exact category, right?
Sure. And there's another team that went into the bowl series undefeated. That was Hawaii, and they ended up getting trounced by Georgia in their bowl game.
But maybe you can make a case that Georgia should be playing for the national championship.
Exactly.
Now.
Or USC, which was very impressive in their bowl game. Or you could make the case that if Hawaii, having gone undefeated, actually got to play for it all, they could have been like Villanova, the college basketball team in 1985, the kind of underdog that, surging with adrenaline despite physical odds to overcome, won a championship over a school called Georgetown, which is in Washington, D.C.
So you're saying that this system doesn't even allow underdogs to have their moment in the sun?
Not at all. It's a system for the rich and the powerful and the corrupt.
Are there any good arguments for it?
No, there are none.
I can
and
think
I'll
of
tell
one,
you, all right,
but
I'll,
you go
right,
ahead.
But I'm going to respond to the argument that people always make that you're about to make,
right,
which
so,
is wrong.
Which is, in week two of the season, it makes every single game so important. In week two of the season, a team can lose a game, and that really will spell doom for their whole season. Other sports, there's always the chance of recovery. So the advocates of this system says it makes every week life or death.
Right, but it wouldn't for college football, because you couldn't realistically, college football, they play roughly once a week. You couldn't have 64 teams playing a tournament at the end of the year in college football. It would be completely unfeasible, because in basketball, it's a tournament of 64, really 65, but let's not go there. It gets too confusing. But, the music's coming.
Finish the thought.
Okay, the thought to be finished is that in football, it would be top 16. Therefore, every game, I would put it top 16, every game would still count throughout the year.
Coming up, Ed Gorin, president of Fox Sports, will join us. He's an advocate of this system, and we'll take your calls at 800-989-8255. You can send us email at talk@npr.org. I'm Mike Pesca. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Mike Pesca in Washington. College football rankings are pretty convoluted. They regularly bring grown men to tears, and some women too. My guest is Dave Zirin. He's a columnist for Slam Magazine and a regular contributor to The Nation and Sports Illustrated Online. If you're a fan that feels the BCS has done you wrong, that's right. If you're a West Virginia, Georgia, or a Mizzou fan, or if you want everyone to stop whining about it and take some pleasure in what could be a really great game tonight, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and check out our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And quick question for you, Dave. If we're criticizing the current system, you can't beat something with nothing.
Right.
So give me a system that you think would work better and more fairly.
Absolutely. Instead of a system where the winners of the top eight conferences or the top six major conferences play in the bowl games, what you could have instead is something where the top 16 teams, based on coaches and, if you want, computer rankings, play in a tournament modeled after the NCAA basketball tournament. Instead of the team of 64, the field of 64, you get the field of 16. Of course, the team that's ranked 17th is going to complain, but to me, that's just more part of sports. And you lay it out, top 16 teams, people play against each other. It allows the mid-majors, who've impressed us all year, to be able to compete with the other squads. And also, I mean, I'm sorry, but these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids giving their heart and soul. Just to something that you said before the break, if they lose their second or third game, I don't want their season wiped out for the year if they're good enough to come back. I want them to have a chance at redemption during a season. I mean, these are kids, for goodness sakes, playing their hearts out, and I want to see them have the chance to win it all, like in college basketball.
Let's bring in Ed Gorin, one of the most powerful men in sports. That's just not me saying that. He was on such a list. I think it was the Sporting News named him number 22 in all of sports. He's the president of Fox Sports, where the BCS championship game will be broadcast tonight. He's joining us from New Orleans. Hello, Ed.
Mike, how are you today?
I'm really good. And I guess we'll put to you, we've been probably engaging in the kind of complaining that you very well might be hearing about a lot these days. But what do you make of it? Is there anything to the critics and critiques of the college football championship system?
Well, first of all, you know, Dave's point about you can't lose early in the season, this year doesn't hold up. The two teams that are playing in the championship game did suffer losses. That's number one. Number two, I think if you took a poll of football, college football fans, they would agree with Dave. Why don't we have a 16-team tournament? It's just not going to happen. We need a reality check here.
Tell us why.
I mean, college football, the other version of how to change the current system that's been suggested is a plus one, where you add a game. You have two bowl games with 1 and 4 playing each other, 2 and 3 playing each other, and the winners facing each other in what would be a plus one. That hasn't happened and is not going to happen in the next couple of years either. So
the plus one is essentially a four-team playoff. That's just a more complicated way of saying a four-team playoff.
And we haven't even been able to get to that point.
But why not, Ed? I mean, you're close to the money. You're close to the ratings. Is it because of TV or is it because of some other factor?
No, it has nothing to do with TV. Look, we signed on 2 years ago for the BCS rights, and we knew what we were buying into. And we've been thrilled with the relationship and how it's worked out. If it gets modified along the way, we would continue to have an interest. But it's not about television. And a lot of college coaches, and I was surprised when I first heard this, a lot of college coaches don't want a tournament. You know, you have your BCS bowl games. The bowl experience for these kids is more than just a game. They get to enjoy the week in New Orleans or in L.A. or in Miami or in Phoenix, and it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. If you're in a win-or-go-home scenario, I think, number one, you lose some of that fun for the kids. If that's the scenario, win-or-go-home, you're not going to be out at functions and going around town and doing tours. You're going to be getting ready for a game, and that's it. The other thing is, with the current system, the kids who from USC, they end their year and go back to the campus as champions. Kids from Georgia, they go back to their campus as champions. Once you get into a playoff, there's only one winner.
Mm-hmm.
In the current system, there are multiple winners. Would a 16-team
So you think the 7-6 team, that won its Motor City Bowl, feels like every bit the winner that the national champion does?
Well, I'm talking the BCS, and yet even the kids who win the Motor City, you know what? It's a pretty good feeling going back to the campus, having won your last game and having it be a bowl game.
Dave Zirin, you've been scribbling furiously like someone who wants to get the prosecution witness on the stand.
No. I do that so I look smart for you, Michael. But first of all, Ed,
better
you
than
know,
scratching.
Let's first. Ed is both much more powerful and has a much better radio voice than I from hearing that. But I would like to respond to a couple of things. I mean, first, if this was really about the kids at the end of the day, with all the millions this produces, we'd be paying these kids a bit of stipend. They'd get a little piece of the pie when this is all said and done. I mean, I talk to a lot of college athletes, and the first thing they say to me is not, I want the bowl system, but wow, I'm out there on the field. I wouldn't mind getting a little piece of that myself at the end of the day. But the second thing, though, that I would say is I agree with Ed that it's not about TV. That's not the interest at work here. This is, to me, and from talking to coaches as well, this is about university presidents. Because when you have over 50% of all college teams get to play in a bowl, they're able to get a small piece of that. Yet it's so short-sighted because it's infinitesimal how much more money would be able to be gained by getting a playoff system. The amount of energy and attention that would produce would so transcend that to me – for a lot of people, it just seems logical at this point that we need to do that. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like what I wrote in my column about this, W.E.B. Du Bois, and this might be the first time W.E.B. Du Bois and Tommy Tuberville were mentioned on the same show, but W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a century ago about the influence of King football on the college campus and about how it distorts the thinking process in terms of just the logic of the role that sports should play in university life. And to me, the BCS is really a manifestation of that.
W.E.B. Du Bois also said the color line would be the problem of the century. Tommy Tuberville said I think it would be the defensive line. Hold on. Let's get a call in here. Tom from Kingsland, Georgia. Tom, what are you thinking?
It's very funny.
Well, I'm one of those fans that falls on the side of the current system makes every game matter. It makes every game count. And this season was a perfect example of that. I watched more football probably this season than I have in any other season in recent memory, because every single weekend you had teams that either suddenly made a move where they could play for a championship, or teams that we thought that would be going to a championship that lost in an upset. And I think if you go to a playoff system, you end up with either one of two situations. You either have a small field of four or eight teams, and then you have the same problems that you have with the current selection process.
Someone's always going to get left out.
Exactly.
Right.
Or you have a larger field of 16 or more teams, and then you dramatically reduce the importance of the regular season games. And I think that the sport would suffer for that.
See, there's proof that NPR has intelligent listeners.
Nice.
Well, Tom, take the compliment, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Ed, what do you hear from – I read a Gallup poll saying only 15% of people were satisfied with the system. Earlier you made the point that the reality doesn't matter what percent of the system –
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, there's no question in my mind that if you took a fan poll, it would heavily favor some form of a playoff. But you know what? As Dave said, it gets back certainly to the presidents. Or it begins there, it trickles down into the conference chairs and the coaches. Heck, from what I've heard, the folks at the Pac-10, Big Ten, and Rose Bowl are the major blocking force, or certainly have been on record as saying they don't even want a plus one. So in the end, I just don't see it dramatically changing, although there certainly has been discussion about a plus one. The trouble with a plus one, some years that works real well. This year, I think you would look at it and say, well, there are a lot of schools, USC, Georgia, Kansas, who would feel they have every right to play the winner of tonight's game, too.
Yes, this year would be one of those years where you'd want an A-team field. But let me just ask you, Ed, while we have you on the line, do you think, is your assessment, knowing what you know about ratings, do you think the college presidents and the conference presidents are being penny-wise, pound-foolish? Because I could see a scenario, if you marry the popularity of college football, and maybe you could talk to just how incredibly popular college football is as a sport, and you marry that with the buzz of March Madness, which is the NCAA basketball tournament, for a regular season sport that I don't think is as popular, I would think that you can have an event, a weeks-long event, that could even rival the NFL as the greatest television property we know.
Well, maybe so, but understand, and everybody likes to bring the NCAA basketball tournament into the equation as an example. The reality is that the BCS ratings right through the championship game are well in line, if not even better, than the Final Four of the NCAA basketball tournament. And our sales guys, we've been very fortunate. Madison Avenue loves the current system based on the fact that we are sold out for 4 years, which is just an amazing testimonial to the college BCS product.
And the current system, meaning you're sold out for all the ball games or just the championship?
All of them.
Amazing. Let's take one more call, and if you could stay with us, Ed, for a second, because I know you've got a lot to do, but Andrew from St. Augustine, Florida. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hi. Yeah, I'm going to be a staunch defender of the system. I think it reflects the university culture. It's what I call the seminar approach to choosing a winner, I suppose, and that's, in a sense, what these coaches are asked to do, to come together and develop some kind of a consensus and understanding And in doing that, they reflect a university culture. It take away some of the competitive nature of the sport. And, of course, show that, you know, coaches can come together and make a good decision together. That's my comment.
Wow.
Thanks for the call there, Andrew. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say it's remarkable considering how cutthroat college sports can be on every conceivable level, from the university level to the network level, that when it comes time to defend a system that 85% of the people don't want, all of a sudden it's draped in ivy, and we're speaking about it as if the long day has gone by, as if we're all going to sing Old Anxiety here in a second. Now, I just think it's so much more critical, I think, to understand that we have to look at what college football could be and what it could generate. I mean, Ed's absolutely right that the current system, people profit from it, and it does very well. But that vision that of what it could be, I think the basketball analogy is very appropriate, because 20 years ago, no one would have thought that you would have had the office pools, the buzz, the excitement, and the people who are casual sports fans stepping to the fore and becoming something much more intense.
Well, that's really going to convince college presidents that office pools are the trigger to expand the format.
So, Ed, I'm going to let you go in a second because you, of course, got a lot to do. But we've been going around a little bit, and the same point is made that no matter how many ideas you have to improve it, reality says it's not going to improve. But a few years ago, there was a different system, and the BCS does represent a gradual improvement. Are there any baby steps that you think can be made to address some of the concerns we've heard?
Well, I do believe that moving forward, you will hear more and more discussion, at the very least, about the possibility of a plus one. I don't see it happening in the next 2 years because of current contracts. There are some speed bumps along the way between a plus one and what we have today. And I will say this, speaking for Fox Sports, our number one priority is to continue the relationship with the BCS. It has been outstanding. And if it doesn't change one iota, we would love to continue that relationship down the road.
Ed Gorin, president of Fox Sports, thanks for joining us today, Ed.
You got it. Thank you.
And this is Talk of the Nation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take another call. Michael from Flagstaff, Arizona. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How you doing? It's great to be on the show.
So was that University of Arizona Wildcats in Flagstaff?
It's actually Northern Arizona University Lumberjacks.
Lumberjacks,
there
yes.
There would be a 1,000,000-to-1 shot that we would have a shot at the title, but I guess with the current standings with mid-majors, we might have that. We are, I guess, equivalent to like an Appalachian State, the one that beat Michigan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you're in Division 1A, or what they used to call that. Are you
it's
in the top
like
division?
Championships League yes, or something yes. like that. Yeah, something yeah. weird now. Anyways, I have a solution to all this without messing things too much up. So
go ahead. What's the solution?
It's an 18 playoff. It'll be 18 playoffs, and it'll consist of the 6 conferences that are already in place. It'll also the first round of the playoffs will also consist of the 4 bowl games that are already existing: the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and Cotton Bowl. We can keep traditions alive too by having the Rose Bowl have automatically a Pac-10 versus a Big Ten in the first round of the playoffs. And then you also have the tradition of the Notre Dame clause, which is if the Notre Dame has more than 10 wins, they're automatically in the playoffs. And so that gives one spot there, plus allows 1 or 2 spots for the mid-majors like the Utahs or the Boise State. The second week will become 2 new bowl games. Why not? You can make it, you know, something really nice like the Gold and the Silver Bowl or something like that.
We could come up with better. We could sell some sponsorships.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then the final is?
And the finals should be played the week between the Super Bowl, the championship game and the Super Bowl, and that'll be the 2 teams right there, and that'll cover all our bases, that'll cover everything, it'll actually add some more revenue to the whole situation without having to mess with the other bowls. The smaller bowls can still be around and still do their little thing, and the other schools can make their money by doing that. We're not trying to harm anything. We just want to see a champion. That's it.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you for the suggestion, and please, if you could turn your sights to Social Security or the polar bear next, that would be great.
Lumberjacks, baby.
Let's get a call in here from Stephanie from Cincinnati. Hi, Stephanie. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm a University of Georgia grad, and I just wanted to make a comment about how frustrating that game was because we are a big team coming in. We should have debatably played in a national championship. But
and that game, we should say, was you beat the undefeated Hawaii team and beat them to a pulp.
Soundly.
Yes. And it's frustrating because they're undefeated, but they're coming from a minor conference with only 2 teams. that have winning records in that conference. So what are we doing playing them?
In their defense, they were jet-lagged.
But,
that's a heck of a flight.
But the point is, at a day that you should have been celebrating the victory of your Georgia Bulldogs, you were having these ambivalent feelings.
Right, and we couldn't really win for losing because we were beating them, and then everybody says, oh, well, they're just playing Hawaii. They come from a minor conference. What do you expect? But then the announcers turned around and said how disappointing it was for the country because, you know, Hawaii was an underdog. It wouldn't have been great for the country if Hawaii would have won. So it's just kind of frustrating coming from to play in the Sugar Bowl, which has traditionally for years and years and years been a big game for the SEC.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Stephanie. And in our final couple seconds, Dave, put a fine point on it, if you would.
Absolutely. The system is broken. It is broken, broken, broken. And I think that the only way to fix it is for the 85% of the people who want a new system to begin to start thinking through how they can organize to push the television and university president interest to actually make a fundamental change.
All right. You were just listening to Dave Zirin, who wrote an editorial on pigskin and petrol, the oily BCS. Thanks very much, Dave.
My privilege. Thank you.
This is Talk of the Nation on NPR News.